Our next speaker is Claire Mulway from the University of Nantes, and she is going to help us think towards helping the Earth feed humanity. Claire. Yes,
thank you very much. I would like to thank all conference organizers and especially the professor Johan Negrutiu for his receptiveness and the work and time that he dedicated to the organization of this important event. I'm glad to represent the professor François Collard du Tilleul, member of the University Institute of France and professor of law at the University of Nantes, who holds the direction of the LASCO program. And I'm going to present shortly this program. Since 2009, the researchers of the LASCO program have been seeking to identify the legal causes of the absence of food security all over the world in terms of access and quality, and to work on possible solutions. Actually, neither the free play of market forces, public policies, nor the World Trade Organization managed to prevent important crises from happening around the world. Financial crisis, food crisis, health crisis, economic crisis. In any case, these crises are the price that the states or grouping of states are now paying for the lack of sufficient legal framing of monetary exchange in the fields of property or agricultural products. Beyond the serious human tragedies they cause, these crises also result in the expropriation of small farmers with no land, the increase of poverty and malnutrition around the megacities, the volatility of prices limiting the access to food for all, the grabbing of farmland by states or foreign societies to the detriment of the local population. In this context, since 2009, the researchers of the LASCO program have been seeking to gather and analyze the different issues relating to food around the world and, as it is closely linked, the problem of access and the use of agricultural land. Its aim is also to identify the legal causes of these issues and look for possible legal ways to solve them. LASCO program works on four main research issues: sovereignty on natural resources and international investment, access to agricultural inputs and international intellectual property, food security and international trade, consumers' health and trade control. To work on these issues, the LASCO program relies on an international network of more than 100 researchers from Europe, Africa, Asia, and America, mostly jurists, but also economists, historians, sociologists, etc. Especially during the next months, the LASCO program is going to work in close cooperation with the Michel Serre Institute on the specific issue of the legal regime of biodiversity's genetic resources. For ecological reasons, biological diversity lies primarily in developing countries. But in general, less political attention is paid to genetic resources, whereas they are crucial for food security and sustainable agriculture. Considered as the first link of the food chain, genetic resources form the fundamental basis of farmers' systems and have a great value for science and technological discovery in crop production. However, the erosion of genetic biodiversity has become clear over time. This has increased the risks for food security and sustainable environment by raising the vulnerability of individual farmers to climatic changes, pests, and disease. One of the key issues examined along this collaboration with the Michel Serre Institute is the ability of legal systems to provide a biodiversity's genetic resources regime that takes into account both necessities to feed the humanity and to conserve biodiversity. Most of the existing legal regimes are actually based on the concept of property, which is generally used to characterize the juridical relation between biodiversity's genetic resources and their holder. But approaches of this key notion are various and quite distinct across the world. While the Inter-American Court of Human Rights recognizes to indigenous population of America collective property on their territories, the current land system in China only recognizes public property and excludes private ownership of land. France has developed original ways of appropriation under the category of quality signs, which brings together labels of origin, biologic, agriculture, farm products, and private labels. Actually, the legal debate about farm seeds appropriation is leading to a similar problematic. Regarding these varied approaches, the concept of property seems to be available in all shades, from private to public property, from collective to individual rights, from the most limited scope to the broader one. For this reason, the project will highlight the various ways in which the concept of property is defined and will discuss its signification. We also would like to discuss its scope. In other words, to argue about what can be or cannot be appropriated according to the necessity to reach sustainable agriculture and food security. This theoretical approach will lead to rediscover the coupled property rights, public goods, in the light of market and non-market values, such as fundamental and human rights. This conceptual analysis will later be used as a tool for the systematic analysis of the legal regime related to biodiversity's genetic resources in Costa Rica. Because Costa Rica once set up a sui generis legal regime that reconciled environmental and intellectual property approaches, this country constitutes a favorable field of study. In April 1994, intellectual property laws were placed under the jurisdiction of the World Trade Organization. The agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights established a standard definition of intellectual property and imposed a uniform set of criteria for its protection. Henceforth, countries of Central America are required to follow international standards regarding the criteria for patent. However, Article 27 of the agreement allows World Trade Organization members to provide a sui generis alternative to the use of patents for the protection of genetic resources. It gives developing countries the option of protecting plant varieties either through patents or through an effective sui generis system. But a definition of a sui generis legal system is currently lacking. Until 2007, Costa Rica decided to make use of the permission granted by Article 27, and this experience demonstrates that a sui generis system could be embedded with a non-intellectual property rights legislation, such as the biodiversity conservation law. It could constitute an alternative proposal for a legal system in developing countries. Later, in 2007, the national referendum that resulted in Costa Rica's approbation of the Central American Free Trade Agreement had many effects on the legal sui generis system related to access to genetic resources in Costa Rica. In particular, it required Costa Rica to submit to the Convention for the Protection of New Varieties of Plant Convention and to review national plant variety protection legislation, as well as parts from the biodiversity law that are relevant to intellectual property rights. Many articles of the latter had to be amended because of obvious incompatibilities with the Central American Free Trade Agreement. So, at a local level, we will seek to understand the ways in which international and regional agreements affect legal regimes in developing countries with a case study of Costa Rica. Finally, an answer to the problem of the erosion of genetic resources could be found in the recognition of farmers' rights. The labor of traditional farmers and local populations has a profound effect on the preservation of height genetic diversity. Traditional techniques of selective weeding, plant collecting, or exchanging of seeds maintain height genetic diversity. The Convention on Biological Diversity has fixed the equitable sharing of the benefits arising from the use of genetic resources as one of the three primary objectives. But this convention do not describe specific mechanism by which their knowledge and resources might be compensated or protected. However, Costa Rica has developed experiences in the negotiation and signature of benefit sharing agreements between organizations that have regulated access to genetic resources and biochemical, pharmaceutical, agricultural, and biotechnological industries. Especially, the National Biodiversity Institute of Costa Rica has developed the concept and practice of bioprospecting as an answer to the need of sustainability. We wish to analyze to what extent this approach and mechanism of sharing benefits have changed the condition governing access to genetic resources in Costa Rica. As results are poor, the proposed project is expecting to offer new opportunities in the legal use of biodiversity genetic resources by describing the construction of an alternative legal system. Thank you very much.
We've time for a few questions, if you have them, please.
Again, maybe a short comment. I think these two first presentations show the landscape across which the Institute will be actually working through. It's certainly a challenge, but I think that's the time to take such kind of challenges. So, coming back to the juridical, legal dimension of the discussion here, the Costa Rican example, I think it's a surprisingly interesting case compared to the kind of dynamics we don't see growing up on our continent at this point. And maybe one of the causes of that is our tight binding with the constraints imposed by the World Trade Organization. So my question would be, how much of a hindrance, how much of a break, how much difficulties from the legal point of view you see around the World Trade Organization? Will be this an insurmountable fight? I mean, shall we dismantle it or shall we adapt it, as ecological evolution is trying to suggest? Can we domesticate the World Trade Organization? That's my question.